Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Oh my gosh, Sarah, I can't believe we've made it.
I'm just thinking we're doing an episode today about marrying people from different countries, and it's kind of like our relationship at the
I know, and there's no way you could have phone sex with how our relationship's going online
No,
right now, is
no,
there?
no. It's just not happening.
I think, Sarah, maybe we should explain what it's been like trying to do this podcast from a
So
distance.
there's time difference problems because I think you're 6.5 hours. This is the thing. Why does Adelaide add on half an hour?
I don't know.
It really is bizarre.
I guess it's got something to do with the sun and daylight savings and where we are in the world. Yeah.
When we're an o'clock, you're at half past.
So I'm about to ask a really dumb question, but are Melbourne and Sydney on the same time?
Yes.
Ah,
I said yes with like 100% confidence, and now I'm questioning myself. But yes, yeah, no, and I said, but I think Queensland changes from Sydney.
Queensland changes. I knew that, but I had just always assumed that Sydney and Melbourne would be at different times as well, because we're always sort of at a different time than someone, right, in Adelaide.
Yeah,
It's
no, I think they are. And I apologize if I've got that completely wrong, if anyone's listening from Sydney, Melbourne.
the fact that you've lived in both of those places just makes that
Yes,
little tidbit so much better.
it We've
Yes.
got our lives, the things that we're doing, just trying to fit it all in. We've had technical difficulties.
Oh, yes. I have had
Yeah.
major technical difficulties here in that my
Had a death. You had a
yes, we experienced a death in our family of my laptop just one day said, "That's it. You have recorded way too many videos and way too many podcasts, and you can't keep treating me like this with no respect, and I'm going now." And it left me. So I now have a brand new, fancy, very
Well, that's
lightweight.
exciting.
Yes, it is very exciting. But then you realise that you have to install all these things back onto your computer. So yeah, we have had some issues, and our biggest issue was that GarageBand has updated, and there's a new GarageBand, and it doesn't have the lovely little podcast icon on it, and nobody can tell me
Oh.
why it doesn't have it.
Oh no.
But I had this beautiful moment a couple of days ago because I was in the Apple store. They tried to migrate all of my applications so that I could have the old GarageBand. We thought we'd done it, and then right at the end, this little sign came up saying, "You can have everything except
Oh.
GarageBand," basically. And so I left, and then I just had one of those moments that I'm sure everyone can identify with where you've Googled and looked for the 56th time, to try and work out the solution. And there was one lovely person that had written, "Even though you can't see it, if you go and have a look at your other folders, you may find it." And off I went, and there it was. It was just,
Oh,
I know.
so that's and now we're back online, and that's why I said to you the other day, you're the Steve Jobs of this duo. I swan in every week, say some stupid things, have a laugh, but you're actually behind the scenes doing all of the mixing and sound mixing and making sure I don't sound too stupid.
Oh dear, but I am not good. And I think it had taken me so long to learn that other program, and then it was like, what? You're going to make me
And then it
learn
was just
something
taken away
new?
from you.
Yes, was terrible. Okay, so this week on Two Fat Expats, we're going to talk about couples who are from different places who get together. We've called it "I'm from here, you're from there," which I thought,
Yes.
fantastic title, Sarah. I really liked that.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
Yes.
every now and then I come up with a goodie.
And it was fascinating because you and I have both talked about this before, just personally between ourselves, about how we feel that an element of an element of ease comes when you're both expats from the same country when it comes to planning your
Absolutely.
holidays.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's really made me wonder, because I've talked to so many women over the last couple of weeks who, you know, someone's from Norway, someone else is from America, someone's from New Zealand, someone's from Germany, someone's from fascinating one. Someone is American who married an Egyptian, but they met in Palestine or Israel.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and fascinating. And so all these people, and I just, it just made me wonder, do we choose who we fall in love with, says, because I went out with an Englishman for a long time, but we could never agree on where we would live if we would have been together. And we met in Australia, but it was kind of the great divide between us, because as much as he loved Australia and being a traveller through Australia, he really thought that to settle here, he just couldn't do it. And he thought Australia was way too young. And although he never said it, he kind of intimated that it was just...
He just sounds like a really old English fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, when I think about it, I guess he was. He was, you know, I guess he thought Australia was a little uncultured, do you know? And we all know it's people like that.
Yes. You just think he's one of the English people that still think we're like a colony.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm. Well, I hope you was watching the Ashes yesterday when we like, I was going to swear then, but where we pooed all over England in the Ashes. Hope he was watching.
We can't speak too soon though, Stairs. We've still got another 3 minutes to get through.
And I hate cricket, but sitting there watching Matt watch it all day, I have to get into it. Oh, anyway, we digress.
I love it. Anyway, our conversations almost became a little bit sort of my country is better than your country. And, you know, when I thought about being with him forever and I considered the idea of children, I could never imagine having children where Australia didn't play a major part in their life. Do you know?
Yeah.
It just, I think both of us, the relationship was never going to go any further because we both kind of made a choice that we couldn't do that lifestyle. You know, I didn't want to live in the UK. He didn't want to live here. And as much as we really, really liked each other, we couldn't sort of go on.
It just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But do you think maybe that was the relationship and maybe it wouldn't have worked regardless? Whereas if you met someone, like if Greg, for instance, had been from the UK and he was definitely the one, you would have made it work.
Yeah. Well, I guess I always make that analogy with the tuft of hair. Have you heard my tuft of hair analogy with the ex-boyfriend?
No.
Oh, well, I had this ex-boyfriend who had this little tuft of hair on his back, like right on his lower back, and I just absolutely could not stand it. And I used to make him cover it up. Like we used to go water skiing all the time. And I'd constantly be putting a t-shirt on him because I just couldn't look at this little tuft of hair. And it was really drove me nuts. I sound so awful right now, don't I? But it just irked me. Anyway, when I met Greg, I don't think I even noticed that he was quite possibly the hairiest man on the planet. And I just didn't even notice. And I think we probably could have been married for about 6 months before it crossed my mind that he really was a very hairy man. And,
really?
And it didn't bother me.
See, Matt's hairy back still bothers me. When we met in Vanuatu and I at a friend's wedding and I was there with my parents and I met Matt, I knew I was going to marry him. Nothing happened between the two of us. I was just like fantasizing that this was the man I was going to marry. Anyway, the next day he got out of the pool with the hairiest back I've ever seen and I turned to my mum and said, I'm not going to marry him. And mum said, what? Why? What's happened? Look at the back. Look how hairy it is. I'm not going there. Yuck. I was like, just wax it off, you'll be fine. And it still bothers me. 10 years in, when I get into bed and I see that hairy back, it still bothers me.
Oh, see, it doesn't bother me at all. I wouldn't, would you
but
make...
But everything else is fine.
Have you ever
like,
made...
Like, I love him, but that hairy back has just got to go.
Have you ever made him wax it?
No, he refuses to because he says I can't see it, so it doesn't bother me.
Oh, look, that just makes me love Matt even more. Good on him. Good on him. So yeah,
he's a good egg. I'll keep him.
Yeah. So, but back to that, do you choose, or does it just happen to you? Yeah, maybe that's it. Because I didn't like that tuft of hair, but I didn't notice Greg's huge hairy back. Do you know? So maybe yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe the Englishman just wasn't the one, and if he would have been, I would have been prepared to give it all up. But then I don't know, do you then 25 years down the track be quite resentful? I don't know. It really made me think, this episode, a lot about if you choose or if you fall in love.
Yeah, it's never happened to me. I've when I was in the UK, I dated a few guys, but I knew that they were never going to be serious. So it was never even anything that I thought about. So I guess the only closest common, it's really nothing compared to being married to people from different countries, is that Matt's parents and my parents are 10 minutes apart. Now, when we go home, my parents are a couple of hours away, and it does make really difficult. So I can't even imagine what it would be like when you're on different continents, you know, work out where you're going to live, where you're going to settle, when you're going to visit, who you're going to visit. I think it would be really, really difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Greg's parents live in a different state, and they definitely do dip out compared to my parents, because you know, our beach house is in the same state as my parents, and we're about a 4-hour drive. Mm-hmm. But we will and can at any time jump in the car and go to Granny's, and we just don't even think about it. And whereas when it comes to Greg's parents, who are grandma and granddad, this particular holiday, we always know we go at the same sort of time. We're actually leaving on Wednesday to go. We'll go there for a week. That will be it. And kind of have to choose if they want to come to us. Then, you know, because our break at Christmas is so small, we don't see them at all, because, you know, we're only here for such a short amount of time that if we tried to fit all family in, we would be in continuous perpetual motion, do you know, and not getting a whole and like one of our fantastic listeners told us once, I think it was Kelly Nash used the expression, the planes go both ways. And
absolutely,
yeah, you know, and I think you just have to, all right, you make a trip, they make a trip, and you have to work it out that way, or just, you know, persevere. But so the other thing though that really made me think about this too is, if you marry someone who's from a different culture, like I know you and Matt obviously grew up in the same city, so you have a lot of similarities and a lot of references that you can have growing up. Greg and I have a few different ones because he's a Queenslander and I'm a South Australian. But when you are an American who has married a Ethiopian, say, I just wonder, you know, so often in just normal everyday marriage where you're both in the same place, you can look at your husband like they're some sort of alien, you know, just the fact that they're a man.
Yes.
And you know, in everyday life, women often look at men like they're from another planet. So what what happens when they're also from another culture? You know, do you, if you have married this Ethiopian man, are you thinking, well, is this an Ethiopian thing or is this just a man thing? Like
a general man thing?
Yes, and that came up in one of the interviews I did too, was that quite often she was thinking, well, is this just a man thing or is this a cultural thing, or, you know, are we not communicating because you're not a great communicator? I know that Signe, that we are about to hear from very soon, she was saying that she's married to a Norwegian, and on her wedding day, in her wedding speech, the best man, who was Norwegian, said, well, you know what they say, if a Norwegian man tells you he likes you, that means he loves you very, very much. But anyway, shall we go forward to our first interview and listen to Signe?
Yes.
So Signe will kick off by sort of telling us how she met her husband.
Well, I'm from Evergreen, Colorado, and my husband is from Trondheim, Norway. We both attended the University of Colorado in Boulder. He came over and he was a cross-country skier for the ski team and an engineering student. And I was a physics major who turned English lit, and that's where we met. So we kind of picked up after school in college, and we had a relationship on the East Coast of the States. And then, you know, that led to marriage and children. But we moved to Norway when our first child was just about 8 months. And the U.S. was going through a big recession, and it was very difficult to find work. So we went to Norway.
When you got together, and you're obviously young and you're at university, and you know, you've fallen in love with this Norwegian man, did it cross your mind that this was going to lead to an international life, or did you just think that he would end up staying in America and you would both raise a family in America?
You know, that's interesting. I don't think I thought much about it. I was definitely, when you have a baby and you're a young couple and you're looking for employment, you know, your focus really goes down to ensuring stability and security. And we looked at what would offer that to us in the shortest distance. And after trying in America for him to get a job, you know, I looked at Norway as a safety net because, you know, he has family there. They had a home. So we went and we lived in his parents' home. His parents were working in Italy at the time, so it was open to us. And he had contacts there. He had a network there. And there's also socialism. So we had also that safety net of healthcare for us. So really, you know, it was just a natural progression of problem solving. It wasn't, oh, you know, I'm going to marry a foreigner and go see the world. It was, I fell in love with this individual and we were trying to provide and start a family and how best to do that.
How did you feel as an American in Norway? And did some of his personality start to make more sense once you were back living in his country? Like, how different was your life in Norway to your life in America?
It was profoundly different. When you see your spouse in their natural cultural setting and you don't have quite a grasp of the language yet yourself, you're observing a lot. You know, you're trying to make sense of things. You know, one of the things I found, you know, Norwegians have kind of a funny sense of humor, and some of their shows could be, I thought, over the top with humor and slapstick. And of course, I wasn't, you know, able to understand what was so funny, but just watching it, it just seemed kind of childish and ridiculous. And I would see how hysterical my husband would find this. And I was like, I really don't know his sense of humor, do I? You know, so there are moments like that.
You obviously left Norway after that. Where did you go?
Well, originally my husband said we'd only be in Norway for maybe 2 years, and that 2 years turned into 10 years. And so our oldest son had some pretty severe learning disabilities, and we had kind of gotten indication that, you know, maybe if you went back to the U.S., there would be more help for him there. And so we worked to get back to America. So we went to Houston, which 2000. And so we were in Houston for 9 years. And that was very interesting for us because as a Coloradian, I had never been to Texas. So we considered it in our own way a foreign posting. And but, you know, there was some very lovely things about, you know, Houston. It's a very diverse population. It has more than just one industry, and there's culture there, and there's restaurants. And I'm a big squash player, and there was a big thriving squash community. And so, yeah, so that was our Texas years.
Okay, so you initially went off to Norway for 2 years. It ended up being 10. Then you're back in America for sort of 9 years. And then what happened next?
Well, then we were posted with my husband's work to Baku, Azerbaijan.
With your children, that obviously had a mix of living in Norway and a mix of living in America. They've got a Norwegian father and an American mother. If someone said to them, so where are you from? What was their answer?
You know, that it's an interesting one. My our second son Finn, he lives in Switzerland and he is relocating to Norway. He has always felt more Norwegian or European than American, I would say. And our oldest son does as well, but he's going to university in Colorado and I think he feels more Norwegian in a way just because he did most of his primary school in Norway. And, you know, childhood memories, I think, have a big part of what you feel is home. Our two youngest grew up more or less in America for their early years. But I would still say that they're heavily influenced by the fact that we do tend to go to Norway quite often to visit family and to just keep that connection alive.
And what about you, Signe? Do you have a preference for where you are with your husband and the children? Do you see a life in the future back in Norway or a life in the future back in America?
Well, we talk about this. you know, I was away from Colorado almost a good 20 years. You know, yes, I would go back periodically and visit. And I found it interesting that though we never lived in Colorado, and we maybe had only visited Colorado a handful of times, our two oldest children, when they went to college, they chose schools in Colorado. Our second child, Finn, he left Colorado School of Mines after 2 years, and he went then to Switzerland to work, and now he's going to restart his education in Norway. But so I think somehow, you know, we laid the groundwork that in their minds, at least, that Colorado was a place that was like home. And I was really pleased with that. You know, I don't know how much it weighed into it, but I like to kind of think that, you know, knowing that I'm from there and their families from there, that had a part to play. Can you and I talk about in the future when we're in retirement, which is probably another 10, 15 years away, our ideal would be if we could split it between Colorado and Norway. Norway in the summer is beautiful and delightful, but Colorado summers are beautiful and delightful. You know, so we are not, we have the burden of having too many wonderful places that we could be. And, you know, that's not a bad thing.
I always refer to it as geographical schizophrenia. And you've just said that same thing, where there's just, once you've been exposed to all these lovely places, you find great reasons for why you need to be back there at certain, like you'll always be missing one place when you're in another. It's just our nature. Would you do it all again? Like it would, it, if you went back to university now and your husband was there, would you say, oh God, this would just be easier to just marry an American? Or would you, or would you say, no, this has just been a fantastic life with how we've done it?
You know, I love the diversity in our, you know, our journeys that we have taken since we've been together and we've been married. And I do believe our kids have benefited from the global awareness. And, you know, so I think if I looked at my own nature, I was always somebody who loved the thought of travel, of getting out of the small town in, you know, the mountains of Colorado and going and seeing the world. You know, Knut was somebody who was a bit of an expat kid himself. He grew up in Italy. He went back to Norway when he was a teenager. And, you know, so he had had that kind of bug as well. You know, I would do it again. I think there's so much to, when I look at our photos and the memories that we've had and we've created, it's just enriched by our friends, you know, that are scattered all over the globe, who are from different nationalities, who have shared their customs with us and what's important to them. And I would do it again.
So what did you think?
I thought she really had it together. I think, and she's obviously just one of those people that was made out to be with someone from a different country and a different, I mean, I've never been to Norway. I don't think I know any Norwegian people, but I can imagine that culturally that they're very different, yes. Norway and the States. And what really made me giggle was the comedy show in Norway. I can't imagine them having slapstick comedy.
I know,
I
me
kind
too.
Of that they would be very straight-laced.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? That kind of threw me a little bit, but there you go. I think what really put it together for me was they obviously had no choice. They had to go back to Norway because of the economy in the States. So there was nothing really to argue about. If you've got to put food on the table and you've got to pay your bills, well, you're going to go anywhere where the work is. So I think that made the decision easier rather than everything's good in the States, but maybe we want to go and give Norway a try. And maybe then it wouldn't have been such an easy decision for her.
Oh, but obviously, Sarah, they had
to move to Norway.
Yeah, but I think you bang on. And I think that's the thing that we need to remember is so many people, they don't have a choice over where they're going to live. Like, it's an absolute luxury to say, oh, okay, well, we're going to stay here. Well, you know, when you meet people that are both from different places, quite often it's because there just wasn't any work in their particular field. And you might have to give up the idea of where you had originally planned on living and go and live somewhere else.
Absolutely. And also, again, the decision to move back to the States was really out of their hands, because she mentioned that, you know, one of children had learning difficulties, and the best place for him was back in the States. So again, that was really a decision that was taken away from them. It was an easy one to take and to move back to the States for the next 9 years.
I know. And didn't you think it was really interesting when she said that seeing him in his natural habitat was completely eye-opening, and that the relationship was profoundly different in Norway than it was in America?
Absolutely. Well, because I guess from Norway, he's then moving to the States and he's going to speak in a language that's not, you know, that's foreign to him. So already, whenever I've spoken to people that speak a couple of different languages, in their mind, they're speaking their mother tongue, but then it has to translate and come out as another language. So I guess that would dampen your personality to some extent. So then when he then goes back to Norway and is back with his own people, I would guess his personality is amplified.
Yes, that's exactly
it. And she then has to get used to that.
I know, which is so strange to think that you can be married to someone and in this, you know, you've done everything together, you've got married, and then you move somewhere and go, oh, here's a whole new side of you I didn't even know existed. I've never seen this person before.
Yeah, I that made me think that my sister, her partner is Brazilian. And at the drop of a hat, he's quite a quiet guy, he's a little shy, but at the drop of the hat, he can sort of like bust out some salsa moves because it's kind of in his blood, and he's this amazing dancer. And that's kind of like sometimes random for her, because growing up my dad didn't bust out salsa moves. But she also says that when he's got quite a good group of Brazilian friends in Sydney, and when they get together and they're all speaking Portuguese and the music's playing, and he really does come out of his shell and almost become a different person.
Yeah.
Because he's with his people.
Oh, it's an incredible thought, isn't it? And also the fact of how many things had happened to her because of marrying this Norwegian man. Like she said, she never ever imagined that she would have to have kids in boarding schools. And although they've never regretted it and they're really happy with what the schools have been like and have been able to offer her children, she really feels that if she had married an American and, you know, stayed in that life, that wouldn't have happened, that she wouldn't have had to sort of spread children around.
And maybe her, because she's saying that she's got one son that's living in Switzerland. Oh, no, he's living in Switzerland but heading back to Norway. And then the other son is finishing his university degree in the States but is thinking about moving to Norway. And she said that they feel more European or Norwegian. And I'm guessing that's because they had their formative years there. But had she married an American, I highly doubt that her children would have, you know, done university in the States, headed to Switzerland, gone to Norway. But maybe because both parents had the travel bug in them, that's just sort of filtrated through into the kids.
That's right. And just also that her hometown was, or, you know, her heart, I guess, was in Colorado, and how much she enjoyed the fact that they had chosen to go to university in Colorado, like other children.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, you know, I always talk about geographical schizophrenia, but I just admired her so much that she was able to see how beautiful it was that it all sort of, they covered the whole gamut, you know, that they were a little bit of her and a little bit of him. And I loved how she talked about the fact that she had also lived in Norway now. It meant that she had that shared experience with her children, that she, she understood what it was for them to be partly Norwegian. And I thought that was beautiful as well, that she'd taken the time to live there, because I, you know, I have a girlfriend who's Scottish. She married an Englishman, and they make, they both live in America, and they make jokes to their children all the time saying, well, you know, if you're a really crap sort of soccer player, you're obviously English, whereas if you're any good, you'll be Scottish, do you know? And they make, you know, they both kind of do wisecracks together, but she has lived in England. That's where she met her husband, but he's never actually lived in Scotland. And I always think, well, you know, it must be really hard to impart that part of your children, to sort of explain what it is. You know, it's
And also, even though they're, you know, they're very close countries, they're next door to one another, there is a distinct difference between the English and the Scots.
Different
sense of humour. Like, there's a huge difference that I don't think people understand until you actually start mixing with English people and Scottish people, and you actually see how vastly different they are.
The other thing that Signe brought up too was the ageing parents and what a huge factor that is. And, you know, I think that when you first get together with your partner, maybe you're in your 20s or 30s and your parents are in their 50s and 60s, but what you don't realise is that years later, you're going to want to go and see your parents and be with them when they're elderly and they're perhaps sick and they need your time, and you're going to have to split that time up.
Which I think is also an expat, and it's an expat problem to begin with. We're all living away from our parents. We've all got parents that are sort of heading into the later stages of life, and I think it's something as expats that, it definitely, for me, it's always at the back of my mind constantly that there's probably going to be a call and I'm going to be on the other side of the world. So I guess then coming from two different countries makes it even worse.
Yeah. Oh, really hard. I thought the aging parents thing just was really quite heartbreaking. And you're right, it's an expat thing wherever you are. So when I asked Signe, you know, what would you tell your children if they were going to do the same thing? Because I was really interested to see how she would feel about her own children marrying someone from the other side of the country and or the other side of the planet. And she said, I really, really liked her advice. Like, she said, she would tell them that they have to respect other people's culture, and that she'd tell her children to be really curious and to try and really understand what that culture means to the individual, and is their culture part of their sense of self. So she'd say, go and live there in their country for a while to really fully understand what it is. And she said her husband knew what it was like to live in the US, and so they always spoke English together. Even though they lived in Norway for 10 years and she could speak Norwegian, they always stayed in English because that was sort of their relationship, and that's who they were, and that's how they kind of kept that sense of them.
And I think also she's then been uprooted to another country in a different culture. At least she's kept that one thing from home.
Yes.
I think that would have been even more difficult to be landing in a different country, different culture, different language, and having to cope with all that at the one time.
Yeah. And I think it's just so interesting, Cez, because I think for you and I, our culture is very much a part of where we get our sense of self. And I get so much of who I am from the fact that I'm Australian, whereas I do know people, and I've met people in my travels who get none of their sense of self from where they're from. And you know, I think this is where you and I have kind of touched on this a few times, where we've met people that were born in one place but they have a passport for a different place, and they really want to be part of where their new passport is from. They don't want to hang on to their place of birth. They want to get rid of it and forget about it. It doesn't hold great memories for them. They want to
kick off. That's something completely foreign to you and I, because we come from a country where it's safe and you can thrive, and we would never give up our passport. She's been lucky that she's married someone from somewhere else, and now her children have experienced this amazing life of, and let's not forget, they're also living in Azerbaijan. I said if Mercury was born, that place. So then, you know, and that might not have happened had she married someone from Colorado. She might have spent her whole life living in Colorado and never travelled anywhere. You just don't know. Children are very fortunate that they have got parents from two different places, and they've been able to experience two countries and two cultures. You have to look at it, really. If you're marrying someone from somewhere else, you've got to make the most of it and take the best out of each culture.
Yeah. And I loved how she said, you can't package love. It comes when it comes, and it has some interesting side rooms that you just have to explore.
Love that.
Yeah. Beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
And just tell me, her name, Signe, where is that from?
Well, she pronounces it Signe. And Signe. Now, it's European. I cannot, and this is really terrible. I'll tell you what, I might Google it when I see. I thought it was actually a Norwegian name or a, origin. If I put Signe origin, I'm going to look it up now.
Denmark, Danish.
It's Danish. Okay. So she has a name that matches the area. How fantastic is that?
It was meant to be. She was meant to marry someone from Norway.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that she said there were things about Norway that she really adored and that she didn't find in her own culture. And she said that she tends to be the one in the family that replicates a lot of the Norwegian culture, like particularly at Christmas, where she said her husband, it's really not important to him. He doesn't feel the need to replicate the Norwegian culture.
Because he's had it his whole life.
But she was fantastic, wasn't she?
I really enjoyed her.
Yeah, so did I. She painted a really, really honest picture of what it was. Yeah. I think Signe and her husband are in Perth, Australia at the moment, and, you know, they've got children all over the place, and she calls herself a professional travel, what was it, a travel allocator or arranger or whatever, because she's got four children sort of that she's, you know, kind of getting all around the globe. One of the things she sort of mentioned too is that as she gets older, she's felt more of a need to plant roots than she probably did before. And she really felt that if they had a home with their belongings in it that they could revisit from time to time, that would feel very good to her. And I have to agree with that. You know, Sarah, as I've said to you before, when the kids were younger and we were younger, I didn't care so much about having a house in Australia. But there came a time where I just really needed to have roots somewhere. Pardon the Australian pun. Says, what about you? Do you feel a real need to have somewhere to plant roots, or are you still okay?
No, not yet. Not yet. I'm still happy to keep on travelling and show Sadie the world at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need... Yeah. I think because home to me is wherever my mum and dad are. Yes. So wherever, I mean, the house we're living in now, I didn't grow up in, but the minute I was there, it felt like home to me. So that, as long as we get back there once a year, I'm good. But other than that, I'm happy to travel, and that may change as Ada gets a little older and as she maybe questions more about where she's from. But really, I feel like our roots are here because we've been in the Middle East her whole life. I know I've spoken about this before. Her roots are here. So it's almost like we've done the flip. Her home is here in the Middle East, and everywhere else is a place to visit. But, you know, this is a place we can't have a passport. We can't stay here forever. So as she gets older, I think we're going to have to change and maybe head home more than what we do now. But the other thing that I really liked what Signe they were saying was that they're sort of trying to decide where they're going to retire, or they split their time between Colorado and Norway. Yet both of them have the summer at the same time. And that just made me giggle, because that's different for us in Australia. If we were to sort of head back to Australia, but maybe we had a house somewhere else in Europe, we can almost chase the summer. So again, we're very lucky coming from the Southern Hemisphere that we can have two summers if we want.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's quite perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any Australians out there, marry someone from Europe and you'll be good.
How would you feel? How would you feel? Do you give a toss at all about who Sadie ends up with or what nationality they are? Do you secretly have a preference? Would you care? How would you feel if she married a man from Denmark and spent the rest of her life in Denmark?
Well, that wouldn't bother me because I would just buy a house next door.
Right.
Wherever that kid is, I'm going to be there. No, because Mum and I, you know, it's funny that you said Denmark, because my mum and I always joke that Sadie's going to marry one of Princess Mary's children.
Right. Of course, so she is.
I'm good with Denmark. I'm good. I'm good with living in the palace.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of spare rooms. There'll be heaps of spare rooms.
Yeah. But no, it doesn't. I haven't really thought about it because she's so young. But doesn't it wouldn't bother me. I would want her to be happy, and I'd want her to be in a relationship where there's equality between the both of them and they both love each other. And if that means living halfway across the world from me, well, then so be it. I would just want her to be happy. So if happy means living in Denmark while I'm living somewhere else, that's okay. I'll always travel to wherever she is.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, Cez, we've put a few articles in to go with this one because there were some great articles about mixed marriages and interracial marriages in the expat world. Tell me about your hashtag this week.
Okay, so my hashtag this week. So I think everyone is familiar with Donald Trump. And when he announced that he was going to be running for president, a little hashtag started called Trump Your Cat. And there's a person on Instagram at Trump Your Cat, and he says, you brush your cat, from the hair that you've brushed, you make it into a toupee, and then you place the toupee on the cat, and then you have a Donald Trump. And they are hilarious because cats, I'm a big cat person, I love cats, but they're not like dogs. Dogs just love you all the time, constantly, but cats are really choosy about, you know, whether they're going to smile for you or not, whether they're going to love you or not. And all of these cats with these bloody toupees on their head, they just look like they're in worst mood ever. And that's what Donald Trump looks like. I don't think I've ever seen Donald Trump smile. Like, it is just hilarious. So that's been a hashtag that's been sort of gaining a bit of traction the last week or so.
Okay. Now, I had a podcast for this week that I am absolutely loving, and it's called Story Club. And Story Club is one of those, you know, classic Kirsty ones, I guess, because I always talk about these sorts of ones where people get up and they tell a story, and they have all different ones. But the latest one I love that was actually uploaded today is from Annabelle Crabb, and you know how much I love Annabelle Crabb.
Yes, it's very sad. You've got a girl crush on Annabelle.
I do have a girl crush on Annabelle, but she's done one called I Come From a Land Down Under, and it's all about the agony and the ecstasy of being a foreign correspondent, because Annabelle was a foreign correspondent in London for Fairfax Media, and she just talks about how Australia has this whole penchant for it. When they hear stories from overseas, they just need to have an Australian twist to it. So, you know, if something blows up or something does, if there's an Australian involved, well, then that story suddenly becomes a lot more interesting to Australians. And just off topic, I think one of the classics of this was recently when the Bali Nine, when they were having the executions, you know, that was just such huge, huge news in Australia. But, you know, those executions have been going on and on and on, and there have been ones since, and there were ones previous, and they just didn't get that same attention at all. But we were horrified that it was happening to Australians, but we just weren't horrified. Anyway, her talk is far lighter than that and far funnier, but she tells a great story of chasing Warnie when Warnie was in the throes of his marriage falling apart, and how he was a star on the field during the day and an absolute a very busy boy in the evening with every cocktail waitress he could find. And she talks about a particular story that was going around where he had been with two women who had planted a blow-up sex doll,
yes,
and a video camera, yes, in the room.
Oh, my God. Matt and I were talking about this yesterday.
And how it never occurred to him that these people would be plants from the news of the world, even though they had a video camera and a blow-up doll. Oh, and how while he was doing that, he was also busy during the day getting 7 for 92 in the cricket.
Yes. And because we were talking about this, yes, because he's a commentator at the Ashes at the moment, and he was talking, they were asking him what he was doing the night before. He's like, oh, I actually fell asleep. I was supposed to go out with friends. I'd set my alarm for 10:30 to go out and meet them at 10:30 that night, but I set the alarm for 10:30 in the morning. And Matt and I were like, who goes out at 10:30 at night? And we're like, Warnie. Oh, Warnie. And then Matt was telling me the reason why he didn't get the captaincy that time, because of the sex toy, the blow-up Doodle, and these two girls. Warnie.
I know, Warnie. And for anyone who doesn't know who Shane Warne is, perhaps more of our American listeners, is he was an absolute legendary spin bowler in cricket.
Yes.
But he was a, is it fair to say
a
he
party.
Was a, yeah, and he was a terrible, terrible husband.
Yeah. And she just stuck with him, this whole doodle thing with the plastic doodle, she was still married to Simone and that was going on.
I know. There's a great.
Are you laughing because I'm saying doodle?
I am laughing because you're saying doodle. I'm thinking about all those groodle owners out there with their golden doodles who have no idea. But, oh, yes, there's an ad on the telly here, and you'll see it says when you're home in a couple of weeks, but it's for a car battery company, and it's a man that comes home and finds Warnie on the back patio with his wife, and Warnie's very amorous, and it's actually Warnie, and he's, you know, all over this woman, and this guy comes in and sees him. He goes, Warnie, and then Warnie goes running out of the house, and he can't get the car started. So he goes, I mean, he has absolutely embraced the persona of the Playboy.
Oh, he's become a character of himself.
Yeah, he has a character too. Yes. Yeah. All right. Now, so it's just one last. You had a blog post as well that you really enjoyed this week.
Yes. So we've got a Doha-based blogger, Karen from Clumsy Chic.
Yes.
And she has a beautiful blog. It's almost like a magazine editorial type layout, her blog. And she did a post a year ago, but it started popping up on my Facebook feed. I think it sort of had a bit of traction the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's a story about how she traveled to Asia for 1 month and was able to put all of her wardrobe in a carry-on. And that just, wow. Like when I go away for a weekend, I take 20 outfits. Do you know what I mean? I'm the worst packer in the world. And the thought of going anywhere with just a carry-on gets
amazing.
Me the cold sweats.
Yes.
But when you go, I'll put the link in our show notes. She actually photographs everything that she's packed. And she was able to make over 30 outfits,
wow,
through just the things that she packed in her carry-on. Yeah.
Oh,
it's fantastic. All so right. I thought that would be quite good with her getting ready to go on holidays and what have you. There's some tips there on how to pack for a month in a carry-on.
That's fantastic. Okay, Sez, well, I think we're done and dusted for this week. We've managed to get through it. I think we just have to share with people what it's like, that our most common conversation with each other at the moment is, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I apologise if we're talking over the top of one another, or if I just sound like there's like a blank space running through my head, because often I can't hear what Kirsty's saying.
Oh,
I have to time my laughs. So I might even sound more stupid in these last couple of weeks than I normally do.
Now, on top of this, Sarah, at this very point in time while we're talking, my children have come home from the beach because I had to get them out of the house, and they've come home, and we have big glass doors at the front of our house, and they have all pushed their bare bottoms up against the door while I'm talking. So I think that
hot dog, put your bottom away.
I know. It is Annabelle, Fred and Henry, and each of them has a bare bottom push. And it would be very cold because it's about 3 degrees outside. All right. Okay, I'm going to have to go.
That's the end of this episode.
That does signal the end, but it has been fantastic talking to you. And we will talk again next week. We've got a few ideas and I'll put them up on the Facebook page. Oh, can I quickly just ask, we haven't asked people for ages, but if they could share Two Fat Expats or give us a review on iTunes or do anything, it's very much appreciated.
We share our episodes. Just share the love.
Yes, please do. Okay. All right, Sarah, I'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.